He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I greet you in the name of Jesus Christ today. We're glad that you have chosen to join us for this week's sermon of the Cape Elizabeth Church of the Nazarene. God's Word is full of timeless truths that are relevant to our lives today. Here's this week's message.
I'd like to read for you today from 1 Timothy, the first letter to Timothy, chapter 4, verses 1 to 16. This is Paul writing to Timothy, one of his students, prodigies, fellow ministers. The Spirit clearly says that in later times, some will abandon the faith, follow deceiving spirits and things taught by demons. Such teachings come through hypocritical liars, whose consciences have been seared as with a hot iron. They forbid people to marry. They order them to abstain from certain foods, which God created to be received with thanksgiving by those who believe and who know the truth. For everything God created is good. Nothing is to be rejected if it is received with thanksgiving, because it is consecrated by the word of God in prayer. If you point these out to the brothers and sisters, you'll be a good minister of Christ Jesus, nourished on the truths of the faith and of the good teaching that you followed. Have nothing to do with godless myths and old wives' tales. Rather, train yourself to be godly. For physical training is of some value, but godliness has value for all things, holding promise for both the present life and the life to come. This is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. That is why we labor and strive, because we've put our hope in the living God, who is the Savior of all people, and especially of those who believe. Command and teach these things. Don't let anyone look down on you because you're young, but set an example for the believers in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, and in purity. Until I come, devote yourself to the public reading of Scripture, to preaching and to teaching. Do not neglect your gift, which was given you through prophecy when the body of elders laid their hands on you. Be diligent in these matters. Give yourself wholly to them so that everyone may see your progress. Watch your life and doctrine closely. Persevere in them, because if you do, you'll save both yourself and your hearers. This is Paul writing to Timothy as he's getting ready to enter into his portion of ministry. He's going forth to share his faith. And Paul knows things are going to be difficult. He knows there are going to be trying times, and there's going to be a lot of people with an opinion of how he ought to do things. And he has lots of words of encouragement that come from remembering who he is in God. When I came to this church, I met with the board, and we got a chance to talk about some of the hopes and aspirations and expectations, some of what we were hoping could be accomplished in this church, but also talking about some of the expectations they had for me as a pastor, which is pretty normal for a board to do with an incoming pastor, to talk about the visitations, the commitment to what happens on Sunday, and the many other practices that pastors do. One of the things that stood out in my mind, partly because I was reminded of it a handful of times, was the board had said to me, Pastor Tim, one of the things we'd love for you to do is you have this great deck at the parsonage that was built for you, and it needs some tender, loving care. And we would love for you to make sure that that is in good working order and that's stayed and taken care of. I'm like, okay, all right, that's fine. We can do that. And so this week was the week. This last week was the week to take care of that. I contacted a friend who had a pressure washer, and I thought, hey, this is going to be great. You know, just get a nice jet of air to go through there and just take that dirt and the mold and whatever else had gotten on there and started to discolor it and turn it really dark. We'll just take that right up with that pressure washer. And I thought, okay, this will be easy. Then we'll stain it. And all will be good. Well, in my first church, there was a handyman in the church, a wonderful guy named Tom, sweet spirit. He was the treasurer of the handyman, a guy who I called all the time to help me with issues I didn't even know how to deal with in the very first home we ever lived in that parsonage. And one day, he told me when he was helping with a home project, he said, you know, whatever time you think it's going to take to do something, double it. Every time. And so sure enough, I get the pressure washer, and I'm getting started, I'm going on this, and it has like these different nozzles for different ways in which it will shoot that water out with just the pressure that you want. And the two closest nozzles to what I want, one got off all the thick stuff and the majority of the stuff, but didn't quite leave it as clean as I had hoped. And the other nozzle, when I put that on, it was so powerful. Yes, it came off, but I tested it on the bottom step and it left a groove right in the wood. It came out so strong, I thought, ooh, that looks awfully clean, but I can't do that to the deck. That's going to leave a mess. And so I went back to the other setting, got off most of the dirt and said, okay, this is fine. And thought, to get off all the other mold and grime and stuff, instead of just kind of staining over it, I'll get out a power sander and we'll just work on that. And then everything else will be smooth. Won't have to worry about splinters from the years of it not having anything. And we'll take care of this. And I remember just sitting there sanding with this power sanding. And for whatever reason, another kind of project popped in my mind. Earlier that week or the week before, the hinge on a little bathroom door had snapped. What a strange thing. But I had seen that the screw had come loose, and I tried to tighten it up again, and for whatever reason, maybe it had been loose for too long, that hinge got loose and it had broke. There was a time in my youth, I tell you all this, in my early adulthood that keeping up with things that broke was incredibly frustrating. It was just crazy how frustrating it was for me. When something small like that would happen, I'm like, oh, something else that's going to take up my time, something else that's going to just draw my attention, and I just couldn't believe it. But part of the frustration was, early on, I didn't have any handyman skills. I didn't know what I was doing. I certainly didn't have tools for any of this. In fact, in my first church, someone once asked Tom, the guy I was talking about, they said, how come Tim doesn't know how to do this stuff? And he said, he was a great guy, very wonderful. And he was a person who, like my father, served in the military. He said, you know, he grew up always on a military base. And in many ways, those houses, if there's a problem with it, instead of doing it yourself, you're supposed to call somebody else to come and fix it. So who knows how many opportunities he had for his father to teach him. I thought, well, that was a really nice way for him to put it. My dad's actually pretty good with tools and whatnot, but I guess there was some truth to that. But for whatever reason, I didn't pick up, at least early on, I didn't pick up any of those traits. And so it was a little frustrating for me. But also, as I look back, I wonder if part of the reason why things like just fixing and repairing and maintaining things was so frustrating for me was early in life, like, that's not how life is structured and scheduled. Like, take our education, for instance. Like, a lot of times it's, here's the task. If you succeed at the task, here's the next task. You succeed at that task, you move on. Here's the next task. It's a continual building and new thing. So I think in many ways I thought, well, if you build something or you make something or something has been accomplished, it's set. It's good. Like, why would you have to go back to it? Like, I understand lawn care, but that's because the grass is alive. But like, home care? Why can't it just stay together? But as any home buyer knows, and Jen and I definitely realized with our first home, is someone once said to us, you know what? There are always projects in the house. And isn't that the truth? There's always something more that has to be done. So here I am sanding, and I'm remembering this bathroom hinge, and I'm like, you know, when that broke, I thought, that was no big deal. I'll just get a hinge and we'll fix it and it won't be a problem. And I just remember thinking as I'm sanding, working on this deck, it's like, wow, I'm not grumbling and mumbling like I often do. I can't believe this. What is going on here? But even with the bathroom hinge, like, no big deal, it's a hinge. I mean, hinges, what, they probably last on average, I don't know. Like, this is what I'm thinking about while I'm saying, what is the average lifespan of a cabinet hinge? 30, 40 years? I don't know, but for whatever reason, this one broke. I mean, that's what I'm thinking. Unless, of course, you have, like, young children who like to test hinges, climb on cabinet doors, bang things, see how far they open. I mean, yeah, otherwise, you can expect a certain amount of years from those, but they will inevitably wear out. That's just the nature of things. The lifespan of everything in the home goes down dramatically if you have kids. But I just thought, okay, old hinge, it snapped, no big deal. And so, but we have this kind of mindset for some of the big things in our homes, right? Like the roof, for instance, we know it's wise to budget a little bit of money every year for when that roof is going to need to be replaced every 20 to 30 years. I mean, we know it's wise to budget for that. Unless, of course, we're just going to plan on refinancing the mortgage, right? Like we just know this is something that has to happen every 20, 30 years. So here I am sanding the deck, and I'm just thinking about all these things. It kind of kept me sane while I'm doing that work, and I just found myself, okay, this wooden deck just takes some maintenance. We had some long interims between pastors, and our former pastor only had one season to commit to the task. So here we are. There's a little bit more work that has to be done this time. And while doing this, I just found myself thinking about 1 Timothy chapter 4. And it became, and the sanding of the deck became kind of a moment of talking with God. And in that verse in 1 Timothy 4, that says, physical training is of some value, but godliness has value for all things. I mean, here I am maintaining the deck, and how often is it that we think about the maintenance that's necessary for our faith? I think many times it's easy to think, well, I've attained it, I'm good. I believe all's well. I'm all set, or you know, I've been baptized, or I went to church once, or whatever the case was. We look at certain steps and say, there, I'm all set now. And we can kind of settle for just kind of let things go. But like a deck, what happens is we let ugly, moldy things start to settle, and we start to get just a little bit weathered. Paul warns Timothy in this story that some of this weathering is going to come from the storms of some really bad teachers. There are people who are going to say your faith is only as good as your ability to meet their expectations. And so they have people talking to them about marriage or talking about food choices or talking about this or that. Real Christians only do this. Real Christians don't do that. They only vote this way or that way. Christians ought to measure up in this way. And you know what Paul says about this? And this is what I love when he says, when someone's trying to tell you this is the only way to be a Christian, and I love what he says about it. He says, don't have anything to do with those godless myths and those old wives' tales. I mean, this is what he says. This is what he says about people who just keep saying, hey, the only way for you to be a Christian is to do this. He calls them old wives' tales. He compares it to someone telling you the only way to get rid of hiccups is to drink from that wrong side of a cup. I mean, the only way to pour milk up your nose is to try to cure hiccups. If you ever tried to drink from the wrong side of a cup, it just doesn't work. And so this is what he compares them too. He says, it's like these old wives' tales of people just like, this is how you take care of things. And then what he says, someone says, is no, just train up godliness. Have you ever wondered, how do I do that? How do I train up godliness? If maintenance is necessary in so many areas of our life, our cars, our homes, our relationships, wouldn't we think the same is true of our faith? Well, how might we do something like that? One of the things he talks about is receiving everything with thanksgiving. I mean, try going through a day mentally saying thank you for everything that comes your way. I remember trying that before, and it is hard. It's hard because, for one, not everything always seems like it's worth giving thanks about. And it forces you to start to look at things a little optimistic. It forces you to start saying, okay, but is there a silver lining? Is there something for which I can yet be thankful for in this moment? But sometimes the hardest thing is just remembering to do it. Just remembering to be thankful. I remember trying this, and I remember a significant amount of success where just everything that came my way, everything someone said to me, I just breathed a word of thanksgiving to God. And after a while, it was just mentally draining. And I was like, man, I'm spent. I didn't last more than a couple hours before I was just like, okay, I just need to like live where I am right now. And this was a good mental exercise, but every little thought was just was hard. But what if we looked at moments when we admit, okay, maybe I can do something a little differently. Maybe I haven't prayed in a while. Maybe I haven't read an edifying book in a while. Maybe I haven't just sat down with Scripture for a while. At this time last year, I was in the best shape I've been in my life in a long time. I just finished a Biggest Loser contest, got second place. I was going to the gym. Things were looking good as I went into my 40s. Then, of course, I started drinking Mountain Dew again. And then before you know it, I gained the COVID-19. And now I've determined there are a couple things I can do, right? I get real hard on myself. I get real hard on myself. Oh, I can't believe it. Oh, I'll just continue down this path. It's where I've gone. It's where I'm going. It's where we'll always be. Or I can reinvigorate myself, go back to the extreme practices that led me to win that second place prize. I can recognize I'm just in a certain season in my life, knowing full well that there are practices to work on, knowing full well that there's decisions that will come and go when I'm ready. Sometimes when it comes to maintaining our faith, I think we treat it like a diet. Oh, I got to get back to praying at a certain hour every day. I have to make sure I'm reading at least 3 chapters every day. Or we find some category and we say, this is what I got to hold on to. Now, I don't want to be one of those people Paul warns us about. I don't want to be one of those people who says, you better make sure you're doing this practice or else. But I do want to say, where are we right now? Is our faith getting weathered, beaten up by the trials of life, like a deck that has just been left for too long? And if a deck is left for many, many years to rot, it will fall apart. Might we need to remember that some of the maintenance that perhaps we've left behind for too long, maybe there are yet some faith practices that perhaps have been put off to the wayside. That perhaps we should start to say, okay, how is it indeed that I can find and believe and understand that there is a God who cares about me? If you are watching today or later on this week, I would encourage you to hear what Paul says to Timothy when he says, devote yourself to the public reading of Scripture, to preaching and to teaching, that there is value indeed if you are able to be able to join a faith community in worship, to be together, because we grow together. Jen would end up offering to help me stain the deck after doing that. She actually offered to help me to sand as well, and I said, no, I got most of this. I just need a break. I needed breaks throughout different parts of it just because it was getting hot. But I remember when we had gone to... We had gone to the hardware store together, and we were getting the hinge for the bathroom, and we were getting the stain, the brushes for it. She said, why don't you get a couple brushes and a couple of these little buckets? Maybe someone will help you with this. And I cannot tell you how tempted I was to say, no, I've got this. It's easy. It's fine. It's got this. Don't worry about it. I'm not going to bother anyone else. I was this close to saying, no, I don't need to do it. And even though it was only like 3 extra bucks for a new little container for that. And I almost said, I don't need to spend that. I've got this. I mean, how often do we do that, right, with things? We just say, I don't need help. I got this. Don't want to bother anyone. I can take care of it. In fact, I've heard that that's part of like the stereotype for New Englanders, right, is that hey, I've got this. I can take care of it. I'm not even from New England, but I get it. And like, no, I've got this. But it's easy to do that with our faith, too. When our faith is so privatized, though, I got this, I don't need to talk about it with anyone, that we never talk about our concerns, or we never talk about doubts, or we never talk about questions, or we never celebrate the victories that we have together, of course our faith is going to waver. Of course it's going to get weathered. Because talking about our faith is precisely one of the ways that we maintain it. In fact, it's part of the very calls of the Christian faith is to be willing to talk and share it. Because precisely by sharing it is how we disciple one another. So Paul says to Timothy, don't neglect your faith and the gift God has given you. His words to him are, don't let anyone look down on you because you're young. Set an example for the believers in speech, in life, in love, in faith, and in purity. One of the things I've noticed as I've looked back on sermons I've heard, on preachers who've told me and talked with me about how to grow closer to God. I've heard talk about prayer practices, necessary things about getting up early or doing this or doing that, different scripture reading assignments, evangelism methods, social action, committing to certain codes of conduct, all those different things. Many of them, as I look back, I realize it was like a pressure washer with the wrong nozzle for the deck that cuts into the wood. And sometimes I feel like they're just trying to etch their agenda with the imposed pressure on my life. But what if what needs to happen begins here in worship and we just take some time this morning to just talk with God about what He's doing in our life or what we need Him to do. Let's not treat our faith like a diet fad and go this morning commit to something so big and unattainable that after a week we just burn ourselves out. But maybe we can say, okay, God, I want to say thank you for for who you are and what you're doing. And maybe one day this week there is something that God would work with us on and say, why don't we just have a day where perhaps you say, remember to say a prayer to God. Something simple like that. Maybe it is you'll just sit down with the Bible and read from it. Maybe tonight it's just the prayer. You know where you are. You know your season. Maybe it will be a decision to talk with someone you love about some questions you have, some faith victories or some doubts. What if we said enough with people telling us what being a Christian is supposed to look like and just said, I just want to be close to God. God, how can I be closer to you today? What does that look like? Because I assure you, it's not about just crossing off checklists. Okay, I made sure I got that done. I made sure I did that. I'll come back to that. And then moving on to the next thing. I mean, it's okay to take steps forward, and we should be taking steps forward in our life. But we need to remember that we have to go back sometimes. And we just need to take care of ourselves and where we are with God. After a few more seasons of sun and snow, I know, fully suspect, I'll be putting on another layer of stain on that deck. Wherever we are in our faith, it is okay to say, you know what? I just need to take care of where I'm at and ask God, okay, where have I let things get a little old and get a little weathered and get a little moldy? We don't have to beat ourselves up about where it is or how it got this way or where we used to be or where we should be. Just here and now, what if we just said, okay, I know and recognize Christ loves me. Let's just work with what we've got. Because Jesus is willing to work with us. And he realizes, he says, we are worth saving and keeping around. And he wants to be with us. What if this morning we can just take a moment and say, okay, God, how can I grow closer to you and hear and feel your presence in my life again? Let's pray this prayer together. Heavenly Father, let's just take this moment. Just turn our hearts to you. And say, Lord, thank you for committing to work with us where we are. And Lord, what work do you want to do in my life? Heavenly Father, as we take that moment to pause, if there are any who are like me, there are probably some who heard the voices of people saying what their expectations for them were again. People saying, well, why don't you do this or why don't you do that? Isn't this a good idea? Heavenly Father, would you help us to hear those as just myths and tales? Heavenly Father, we want to hear from you. And we want to just understand that you are the God who sees us as we are, and you'll work with us as we are. You don't just say, why aren't you as brand new as you were so many years ago? Why'd you let things get the way they are today? Just let us come to you as we are. And so, Heavenly Father, today, it is my hope and it is my prayer that as we leave from this place, we might just say, Lord, here I am. And we might just say, okay, how might I take a next step, just the next moment this week and say, okay, I'm going to listen to God again. Spend a moment to hear from Him. Lord, we're not trying to create some big expectation. We just want to take the next step and just say, okay, Lord, how else might I hear or know that you are near? It's my hope, Heavenly Father, that in not providing too many examples and expectations that I don't join the chorus of those who have been placing burdens on us all along. But it is my hope also that in that silence you have spoken and you are meeting us where we are. And we might just take this moment to reflect again and see where we've let things slide and say, okay, God, let me just draw near to you again. We indeed desire just to grow closer to you today.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen. We hope this sermon has encouraged you with the gospel of Jesus. More sermons are available online at our website, capenazarene.org. May God bless you abundantly as you serve Him today.